This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's time for this week's edition of NFL Division Whip Around. Every Sunday night leading up to the start of the season, Ken goes team by team, division by division, to see which teams will be the top contenders to hoist the Lombardi Trophy. The Kansas City Chiefs.
And we start off in the AFC West with the Kansas City Chiefs. When I first thought about comparing teams to pro wrestlers on CBSSports.com, I wanted to put Andy Reid with Andre the Giant because he plods along, his offense plods along, that team plods along, and they play tremendous defense, and that's how the Kansas City Chiefs win football games. To see if I'm right, we welcome in Matt Derrick, Kansas City Chiefs beat writer and publisher of ChiefsDigest.com. Find him on Twitter, at Matt Derrick. Matt, am I right about that team?
Yeah, you pretty much nailed it. This is a team that a year ago, they played incredible special teams. They took away the football, and they were average at everything else, and even below average at a couple of other things. That's what this team is. They don't throw the ball downfield with a great tendency. They just try to control the clock, to try to move the ball, and win on special teams and defense.
I lived through the Johnny Manziel wars of 2014 between Brian Hoyer and Johnny Manziel. Is the same type of thing shaping up between Alex Smith and Patrick Mahomes?
Internally with the team, not yet, not even close. I think it's starting to get there maybe a little bit with the fans. But the Chiefs as an organization are standing firm. This is absolutely Alex Smith's team. And from watching what we've seen at training camp and everything, you absolutely see the talent of Mahomes. You absolutely see what Andy Reid and former general manager John Dorsey loved about this kid. But he's not ready. There's a lot of things that he did in college, he got away with it. He just can't get away with it in the NFL. And Andy Reid even talked about the fact that that's what he's got to learn is just, you know, where the windows are, what are the limits of his arm strength and his talent and his ability to float things in there. And there's things that he just hasn't, you know, one of the things that we see a lot in practice are a lot of tip passes and a lot of interceptions and zone coverage. And those are things that he will get in time. I think he's got the talent. You can absolutely see it. But for a team that wants to win a Super Bowl, it can't have a rookie quarterback.
So for this team, do you got to have Alex Smith? He's never really been a turnover machine, so I think he could hold on to it. By the season's end, do you think Patrick Mahomes then naturally takes over? And after this season, I should say, Patrick Mahomes naturally takes over and Alex Smith goes on somewhere else?
After this season, it becomes a much more of a discussion because Alex Smith's cap number next year is up over $20 million, and this team is up against the cap in every single way, and there's going to have to be some give, and that might be Alex Smith. But that said, you know, this organization is talking in terms about the fact that they think Mahomes is a long-term project, and it wouldn't necessarily be a complete surprise if Alex Smith was back next season if they can figure out a way to make the cap numbers work.
Matt Derrick joining us, Kansas City Chiefs beat writer and publisher, ChiefsDigest.com. How's that running game shaping up? Spencer Ware and then Kareem Hunt.
Yeah, Kareem Hunt is really the X factor there. Spencer Ware, you know what you got. He's a hard runner. He wore down a little bit the end of last season, was banged up a little bit, but he showed an ability to get involved in the passing game last year that he hadn't displayed before. But Kareem Hunt excels in that area. He holds onto the football. He catches just about everything that's thrown his way, including downfield. The kid's explosive. He's got the ability to make a mark on this team. And you know, another interesting thing to watch there in the backfield is C.J. Spiller. The veteran is back there. He looks from the practice field. He looks like he's got the speed that he once had. And you know, if he's just coming in and playing in a kind of a reserve role, or if they find a role for him on special teams, it's going to be interesting to see throughout the preseason how that plays out.
Matt Derrick, Kansas City Chiefs beat writer, publisher of ChiefsDigest.com. Thanks for the time, bud.
Absolutely, anytime.
The Los Angeles Chargers.
To L.A. we go, and I almost said San Diego. Not anymore. We head to L.A. The man who covers the Chargers, Jack Wang, for the L.A. Daily News, at the Jack Wang on Twitter. Jack, what type of Chargers team are we going to be seeing? Because it seems to be kind of up in the air. You have a franchise quarterback, maybe even borderline elite to some people with how he's able to keep things going, but the rest of the team still in a transition phase. What do we see in 2017?
Yeah, you know, health is going to be probably the biggest question mark moving forward. This is a team that's had a lot of injuries over the last couple of seasons, especially last year. Over 20 people on injured reserve at the end of the season, and that was a list that included some really major contributors. You had receiver Keenan Allen out for the season with an ACL tear.
Yeah.
Cornerback Jason Verrett out with an ACL tear. So, you know, both those guys are practicing again. It looks like they'll be able to, round into the Pro Bowl or near Pro Bowl statuses that we saw not too long ago. But there are other signs that are a little discouraging, too. You know, Mike Williams, their first-round pick, has really not been able to practice at all during the offseason. And their second-round pick, Forrest Lamp, an offensive guard out of Western Kentucky, tore his ACL last week, so he'll be out for the year.
What are the expectations for Melvin Gordon and Joey Bosa? Both very young, both very talented. Joey Bosa started off hot. Melvin Gordon's picked it up a little bit.
Yeah, you know, I think expectations probably higher for Joey Bosa just because, you know, he was Defensive Rookie of the Year. Probably can already claim to be one of the best defensive players overall of any age in the NFL. And looking at what he was able to do after missing training camp last year, after missing the first four games, this hamstring injury, he's going to be part, I think, of probably one of the better defensive end duos in the league. And, you know, locking up Melvin Ingram long-term, that's going to set up just a really good pass-rushing front for the next several years. Melvin Gordon, I think, you know, he did pretty well last year, was a few yards shy of 1,000 yards rushing, but added a little bit as a pass catcher. I think in terms of yards per scrimmage per game, he was top five in the league.
How much longer does Phillip Rivers have?
You know, well, he's got 3 years left on his contract. He probably plays through that. And that's going to be a big question. You know, is he going to see that new stadium? They don't really have a clear successor for him. They haven't drafted a quarterback under Tom Telesco since, you know, Brad Sorensen, who was a sixth rounder a few years back. The only one right now on the roster is Cardale Jones, who they got from the Bills for a conditional seventh round pick. He's looked okay in training camp. Overthrown a lot of passes, definitely a project, but he's got a big arm and a lot of physical talent. But this team still does really rest on what Phillip is able to do. And, you know, at 35 years old, he only has so many good years left.
Jack Wang, LA Daily News. Jack, thanks for the time, bud.
Yeah, no problem.
The Denver Broncos.
Out to Denver we go, and to talk about the Broncos and if they'll get back to the postseason in 2017. Brandon Cristall joins us, co-host Broncos Blitz with Steve Atwater's middays on Orange and Blue 760. Find him on Twitter at BK Denver Sports. So, Brandon, are the Broncos going back to the postseason this year?
It all comes down to the quarterback, and I know that's a simple answer. But their roster, it reminds me a lot of the Chiefs in recent years where, especially when Jamal Charles was healthy, you're like, man, players, I guess if there's three quarterbacks, players, you know, 50 through whatever, 1 through 50, mm-hmm. That's the best roster in the AFC West. But the Broncos had Peyton Manning, and that was the difference. And then obviously we know what they did at Super Bowl 50, even with Peyton Manning not on top of this game. Their defense is going to be at that level from 2 years ago, if everyone can get back to being healthy, but it still comes down to the quarterbacks. And if the quarterbacks can be effective at all, they're going to be a team to be reckoned with because their defense is really good. Their running game's improved. They're better up front on the O-line. And they've got enough around whichever quarterback wins. And my money's going to end up ultimately being on Trevor Siemian at this point. that they should be in the mix. They also have, going into the season, the toughest schedule on paper, but we also know that games aren't played on paper.
Very true. Trevor Siemian instead of Paxton Lynch, why?
Because he just understands everything that goes into playing the position a little bit better, and he can read a defense a little bit better, and he can execute Mike McCoy's offense a little bit better. So it's not that Paxton doesn't have the physical tools, but he's not as far along on the mental side, and we all know, anybody that watches football on a regular basis, how important that element is, and it's just not clicking for Paxton. People are critical of Trevor's performance a year ago. I don't think they saw the best Trevor Siemian. I mean, he had 18 touchdowns and 10 picks and threw for 3,400 yards. His passer rating wasn't the best at 84, but it wasn't the worst. His completion percentage was a little low, but let's be fair, most guys' completion percentage their first year as a starter or whatever it may be isn't great. So if he can stay healthy, and the O-line, I think, is obviously a big key there, and they can keep him from running for his life or playing, you know, off his back, I think he can be better than people saw last year. And that's where they'll make the biggest jump, is if he can throw for 25 touchdowns and 14 picks with this defense, they will be a playoff team.
Brandon Cristal, Orange and Blue 760 in Denver. What's the difference between Gary Kubiak and Vance Joseph?
I think Vance Joseph connects with today's player a little bit better, which I know sounds weird. Gary Kubiak was a player for 15 years, but that's where Vance has really, I think, won the team over, is he does right by the players. There's an understanding both ways, and that's why he jumped from position coach to coordinator to head coach so quickly. And I think he and John Elway kind of share a vision. John Elway and Gary Kubiak are great friends. They've been friends since 1983 when they came into the league together. So while he didn't just outright fire Gary Kubiak or fire John Fox, when there was a bit of a disconnect, I think that he thought about moving on. And so Vance Joseph and he seem to be in lockstep. Now, regular games haven't started yet, so who knows how it'll happen or how things will happen once these games really count. But from all accounts, John and he get along great, and the players really love Vance Joseph. They say he commands the room as well as anybody that any of these coaches have ever dealt with in terms of his staff and any of the players have ever played for.
Brandon Cristal, Orange and Blue, 760 in Denver. Brandon, we thank you very much for the time, buddy. All the best.
Thanks, Ken. Talk to you soon.
The Oakland Raiders.
We go to Oakland now in the AFC West, and, well, at least for the next couple of more years before they switch to Las Vegas, to talk about the Raiders, one of the finest writers that have covered the NFL and covered the Raiders for a long time. Bill Williamson joins us, covers the Raiders and the NFL for FanRag Sports, host of the Locked On Raiders podcast. Find him on Twitter, at BWilliamsonNFL. Bill, how is Derek Carr feeling going into 2017?
Oh, he's fine. I mean, you know, the ankle, the broken ankle, ruined the Raiders' playoff chances in 2016, the first playoff appearance in 14 years. But as far as 2017, he's fine. He's moving around great and very determined.
If his last name was anything but Carr, does he get drafted in the first round?
I don't know that, but I think his name, in that circumstance, he would be a Houston Texan. Without a doubt, Houston needed a quarterback. They drafted a guard with the 33rd pick,
Wow. And
the Raiders took him with the 36th pick. So certainly that would be the case.
It's amazing because I've covered the Browns for a while, and I still always say it, if Mike Lombardi wasn't let go in that offseason, I thought he would have been a Cleveland Brown instead of Johnny Manziel. But, of course, their loss is your Providence. How has the culture changed? Not with the fan base, of course, because there's the change of the city, but within the organization, because Derek is an Oakland Raider.
Well, you know, I think, as far as the culture change, I think that's credit to Derek Carr, Khalil Mack. You know, that was a great 1-2 punch in 2014 draft. Cleveland could have had both those guys.
Yeah.
And then Jack Del Rio gets a lot of credit, too. He came in the next year. But, you know, culture changes when with talent. And Carr and Mack have a lot of talent. They have a lot of character. And they're the reason, really, the primary reason why this thing's turned around.
What are the expectations with this football team this year?
Well, I mean, certainly playoffs. they didn't win the division last year. They lost the tiebreaker to Kansas City because they both were 12-4, but Kansas City won both games. You know, I don't know if Super Bowl is an expectation, but Super Bowl contending is certainly an expectation for the Raiders.
Khalil Mack had 15 and 11 sacks each of his last 2 years, 30 overall in 3 years. Year four, what do they expect him to put up?
Well, I mean, you know, Derek Carr kind of joked about 30. Khalil Mack's an interesting player because he won the Defensive Player of the Year award, but he still has some growth to go. Khalil Mack's deal is that he's very consistent and he's a complete player. He's very good against the run, but he's not consistent in pass rushing. His sacks come in bunches. So they would like him to get a little bit more sacks this year and, you know, be a little less streaky on the sacks.
Is Denver the biggest threat to take away the AFC West, or is it Kansas City?
It has to be Kansas City. They won last year. They beat the Raiders both games. They played Kansas City. It's still a strong team. So I would think Kansas City is the main threat. But it is a very strong division. And if San Diego can stop this huge injury bug that's been bothering them for 5 years, and their first two rookie picks are out already, I think the AFC West is going to be a tough game. Whoever plays each other, whoever of the four, is going to be a very tough game. So, yeah, it's an interesting division.
Bill Williamson joining us on the show. Bill, we thank you very much for the time, my friend.
Appreciate it.
That was the NFL Division Whip Around, only on CBS Sports Radio.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL Draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.